2 Thessalonians 1b, and I'm not making any promises that we'll be able to get all the way through this. I intend to, but as I was writing out my notes today, I got an extra page of notes from what I had from last week, the study that we didn't get to do. Fred gave me a textbook written by one of my professors who hadn't written any textbooks when he was one of my professors way back decades ago. And just a real scholar, great man of God, real heart for Jesus. And it was just very comforting as I was studying and reading through things that in all the years that I've taught 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, I did not have his input. And it was interesting to me to hear the things that he said were the same things that, you know, he probably looked at the text and figured it out immediately. Me, it took me years. It took me years and hours of study, but it was very, very confirming. It showed me that what Jesus was not exaggerating when he said, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all of the truth. That is my only rationale for attempting to teach the word, is that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. And if I drop dead or if I blow it and can't dig everything out of it, you have the Holy Spirit in you. He'll lead you and he'll teach you. So we just pray that he'll do that tonight. I think I'm going to read this whole passage just because we're going to jump right in the middle of it. Pardon my throat lozenge. I've had a sore throat for several weeks. I'm going to just read it starting at verse 3 where Paul is giving greetings. This is his second letter to these people. He's kind of astonished at how they've grown under persecution, which is intense. Like I said, this is sort of like writing a letter to a Jewish congregation in Nazi Germany. That's the kind of pressure they were under. They were under pressure of a regime that wanted to exterminate them. And Paul's kind of amazed at how they're growing. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing. Remember the three things he's grateful for. Your faith is growing more and more, and the love that every one of you has for each other is increasing. Strong word in Greek, literally abounding or overflowing. Therefore, amongst God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and your faith in all of the persecutions and trials that you are enduring. Those are strong words. That isn't the kind of persecution where somebody cusses at you, calls you a name because they see a Jesus sticker on your car. This is people wanting to kill you because you're a Christian. People refusing to give you work because you're a Christian. And yet their perseverance and their faith were growing. Verse 5, all of this is evidence that God's verdict is a better word than judgment, that God's verdict is right. And we talked about what that meant 2 weeks ago. That he's talking about the fact that God said, if I don't rescue these people, they're doomed. They have no power to change themselves. And Paul is pointing out that, you know, these people that are trying to kill you now, you used to be them. And the fact that you heard the message, you responded to the rescue, and you're living lives the way that you're living is proof that God was right when he said, without me, these people would fail. They need a Savior. As a result, you will be counted worthy. We talked about that word. It appears again in verse 11, which we may or may not get to tonight. That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. And verse 6 is where we stopped right there, actually. Last time, verse 6 is where we'll pick up. I have to tell you that there are some linguistic difficulties with the NIV. Even Dr. Fee stumbled over some of the same things that I did, which really made me feel good. So I'll try to straighten it out for you as best I can. I'm just going to read what it says here, and we'll take it apart. God is just, and the NIV puts a colon in there, meaning that there's a connection between talking about God's justice and the things that he's about to say that God is going to do. I think the Amplified Bible is better when the Amplified Bible says that it is a fair decision or verdict that God has made to repay those who trouble you with trouble. So, but I'll read what the NIV says. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. You see the word trouble there? We're form of it three times. It's a strong word. It's a key word here. This will happen. I believe that's speaking of the judgment. When the Lord Jesus is revealed. Did I read and give relief to you? I did, yeah. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. I think if you're under the boot of the holy, or the, it wasn't holy then, the Roman Empire, the strongest military power on the face of the earth, and you think, how in the world are we ever going to get out from underneath it? It's pretty comforting to know that God's got a bigger and badder army, and when he moves in, even Rome has to step aside. Verse 8, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. That sentence bothered me for years. Doesn't anymore, but the difficulty lies in the English word, know, those who do not know God. So circle that. We'll talk about that. Those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will, the NIV says, be punished. Little weak. We'll talk about that as well. With everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord. If I may suggest, next to the word destruction, put in the word ruin. It's a better word to match the Greek word. So they will be punished with everlasting ruin, and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day that he comes to be glorified in his holy people. This is a really long sentence in Greek. Dr. Fee said, Paul seems to have lost his sense of direction in the middle of the sentence and tries to bring it together in the end. And that makes me feel better because I got lost as well. On the day that he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. The words marveled at are great words. So underline them. I'll make a little comment about that too. And this includes you, he said, because you believed our testimony to you. Verses 11 and 12 are a prayer. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if we didn't get that far tonight and I could save it for next week. I love Paul's prayers. They are sharpshooter prayers. But I'll read it anyway. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you two things. One, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, second time he's used that word. And two, that by his power he may fulfill or bring to fruition every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. That means every time you do something, simply in trust of Jesus, Paul's saying, I'm praying that God will bring that to fruition. I find that a very thrilling thing to pray. I pray that for Monica and Mary and their store. I pray that for you and your job, because the only reason you're doing what you're doing is because you feel like God told you to and you stuck your neck out. So my prayer is the same as Paul's. In fact, I copy a lot of his prayers and pray them for you guys because they're great prayers. And we pray this, verse 12. So that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. like I said, I'm making no promises how far we'll get. I'm going to try to get through verse 10. I titled this A Fair Decision because even though you can get lost in the run-on sentence, I mean, this is as bad as some of Peter's sentences when we studied 1 and 2 Peter. But the overall flavor in what really is one section next week, if we don't get past the prayer in chapter 2, we will talk about Antichrist, and Paul tries to correct some misunderstandings that they had about the sequence of events for the Lord coming to get them, to get his church. But last time we looked at comforting words, encouraging words, and this is sort of a continuation of that. But the emphasis in this isn't just that God's going to balance the books. You know, the people that are making your life miserable, don't worry. It doesn't look like it right now, but God is going to be fair. He's going to repay with trouble those who've caused you trouble. But the flavor of this whole passage has to do with why it's a fair decision for God to do that. And I found some things in here that settled some things in my mind that troubled me. I told you that verse 8 has always bothered me. The language of it seems to be saying that God is going to punish people that don't know him. And I thought, that's not fair. Why would God punish people just for not knowing him? And of course, the difficulty, as often is the English text. And often when there's a problem, I remember Dr. Fee when used to say, just keep reading. Because often you'll find in the text, in that same section, you're going to find the explanation for what troubles you. And it took me many years of not getting it, but this time I think I understand what he's trying to say. So I've titled this A Fair Decision. The English text, to be fair to people who've misunderstood this, uses some words that have almost exclusively negative connotations in English, like the word vengeance and retribution, which are, for someone of God's character and his purity and his holiness, they're petty. They're bully words. You know what I mean? They're petty words, and they don't fit him. But that's the problem with the English trying to translate what the Greek is trying to say. And the overall flavor of this is that God is fair. And verse 6, which where we're starting, I remember when I got my first, when I first got this study Bible, which is, wow, I've had it for almost 30 years. So 30 years ago, I first read this. God is just, and I thought, yeah, right, because it sure doesn't look like God is fair sometimes. I mean, if you're honest and you're not Pollyanna, there are a lot of times, even David had a problem with it in Psalm 37. Asaph had a problem with it in Psalm 73. A lot of God's people had a problem with it. Looks like the bad guys are getting away with things. It looks like when you try to do the right thing, you get punched in the nose, and God doesn't do anything to defend you. But part of our problem